Hare Krishna. Thank you for joining in the kirtan. Thank you for chanting, clapping your hands. Thank you for being here. Very rare opportunity to actually come to Krishna's temple. When you think of all the people around here, Watford, London, England, how many are actually having darshan of their lordships in their deity form today? So we're very fortunate to be here. We're fortunate to have the blessings of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. We're fortunate to have the blessings of Sri Sri Gonitai, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, who brought this Krishna consciousness movement all around the world, and the blessings of the devotees who live here, who cook the prasadam, serve the prasadam, and make life very pleasurable and sweet on the Sundays when everybody comes. So I've been asked to speak a few words from what I understand is a course on this book, Krishna Consciousness, the Topmost Yoga System. So this time today we're studying chapter 5. It's called Our Real Life. Our Real Life. So who is the our we were referring to here? Our. Any suggestions? Our real life. What does the word, the collective, hour, what does that mean? Not like hours and minutes, it's hour. Mankind. Yes. Yes. Because within mankind there are many collectives. There's the English collective, we think hour, or the European hour, and then we think nationally hour. Many different designations. But then it goes on to say real. So what is real? Real reality without illusion. Yes, a voice.
Thank you.
Reality. Because reality isn't illusion. Sometimes we may be convinced that what we see or perceive or feel is reality, and it might be to us, but it has no bearing in the bigger scheme of things. So we're talking about absolute reality. And the third word is life. Our real life. So what is life? There's a song by a very great devotee who donated back to Vedanta Mana. His name was George Harrison. You probably know George Harrison. He wrote a song called What is Life? So what is life? What is life? Not a lot of people know what life is. We think of life in various terms. But here, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about what is real life? Our, what is human life? And just take out the F, and you suddenly have the word lie. So we're focusing on life. What is our real life? So I'm going to read quite a bit from here, because Srila Prabhupada's words are very sweet, very direct, and very to the point, and very easy to assimilate, to understand. Prabhupada doesn't speak like a scholar, although he was a scholar. He doesn't speak in this particular book. Prabhupada doesn't speak much Sanskrit. He's making this available to everybody as a reality. It's not some distant ritualistic religious process. It's reality. It's here and now. Right now. Srila Prabhupada made this wonderful He made his realizations and the words of all the Vaishnava acharyas going back for thousands and thousands of years accessible to everybody. No matter what your background, no matter what our country, no wonder what our religion, what our beliefs, no matter what our social customs, he made them this available to everybody. And the International Society of Krishna Consciousness is proof of that. We've got people coming from atheistic backgrounds, Christian backgrounds, Hindu backgrounds, Jewish backgrounds, Muslim backgrounds, Buddhist backgrounds, animalistic backgrounds, all sorts of backgrounds. We've got scholars, deviants, head cases, rascals, intelligent people, all sorts of people. Their desire was to find what is the truth, and Prabhupada has made that available. So let's share this Prabhupada's words here in the fifth chapter of Krishna Consciousness, the Topmost Yoga System. I'll just be reading and I'll just make a few comments here and there. And if any of you got any question, you put up your hand and I'll try and answer according to my ability. So Srila Prabhupada, this is Krishna consciousness, the topmost yoga system, by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada begins, the Bhagavad Gita says that out of many thousands of human beings, one may try to make perfection of his life. Man is an animal, but he has one special prerogative, rational thought. What is that rational thought? Reasoning, power, argument. Now, reasoning power is there in dogs and cats as well. I'm sure one or two of you have got a dog or a cat, or perhaps a hamster, or a goldfish. Even goldfishes have reasoning power. Suppose a dog comes up to you. If you say, "Hut," he'll understand. The dog will understand that you don't want him around. So he has some reasoning power. But what is the special reasoning power of the human being? As far as the bodily necessities are concerned, the reasoning power is there even in the animal. If a cat wants to steal some milk from your kitchen, she has very nice reasoning power. She's always looking to see when the master is out and she can take. When I was a kid, we used to put, the milkman used to deliver the milk outside the front door, you know. And in the winter time, you'd often find that the little silver foil top of the milk had been pecked open. Not by the cats, of course, but by the blue tits. No? How does the blue tit know that there's fresh cream in the top of a milk thing? How does it know that? No? It's got to find the milk. How does it know that? It's reasoning. And I don't understand how it knows there's milk, fresh cream in the top of a milk thing, because, you know, a milk bottle is quite alien to a blue tit. But they do. They figure it out. Of course, the super soul is also in the heart. And in the wintertime, birds get very hungry. So the super soul says, check it out, in whatever bird language he refers to. It knows where to go. So animals have reasoning power. For those of you who've got goldfishes, it doesn't take long before the goldfish knows when there's a hand above its goldfish bowl or its tank, food's going to come in. So you can tease your goldfish. You put your hand above the fish tank and do that, all the fish will start looking up for the food because it thinks there's food coming in. So our four propensities of animal life, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, there is some power even in beasts. Then what is the special reasoning power of the human being by which he is called the rational animal? There's many cases in Prabhupada's talks, and some sure devotees we speak about this propensity for eating and sleeping and mating and defending. And because we know that these are common to animals and to humans. But we do it a little bit more sophisticated. A little bit more sophisticated, sometimes. In this gathering, I'm sure it is more sophisticated. But still, it's the basic animal propensities. So in the next paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, the special reasoning power is to inquire, to ask a question. But the goldfish never thinks, what am I doing in this? Is this all there is to existence? No? The goldfish can't think like that. And the cat's not thinking, where's the milk come from? So the special human reasoning power is to ask the question, why am I suffering? So I'm going to ask you a very frank question. And I want you to put up your hand if the answer is yes. Is anybody here suffering? Put up your hand if you're suffering. Is anybody suffering here? One, two, three, four. Wow, well, this is five. This is amazing. There's only six. Anyone else? There's six people here who are honest and said that they're suffering. And the rest of you are either very dishonest or you don't think you're suffering. So, are you dishonest? We'll give you another shot, okay? We're going to have another shot. And I'm, you know, we'll take it on face value this time. Put up your hand if you're suffering. A few more, but a lot of you are not suffering. Well, I'm amazed. What is the secret of your not suffering? I want to know. I want to know what is the secret of your not suffering. All of those who didn't put up your hand, think for a moment and then tell me now, to everybody here in front of the deities, because it's not a big thing. Just tell me, how is it you're not suffering? Just any volunteers? Come on. Put up your hand. Or was it that you were shy to put up your hand and say that you're suffering? Were you shy that if my wife sees that I put up my hand and says I'm suffering, she's going to give me a heavy time this evening? Huh? You're not suffering?
Well, I was suffering before I came, but now I'm in darshan with the deities and I'm hearing that every day, I'm relieved of my suffering temporarily.
Okay, this gentleman's honest. He's been relieved of his suffering and he says temporarily. Okay, that's a very good answer. But so far there's no answers. So perhaps we don't realize we're suffering. Maybe we don't. But you have to take a long-term view. Were you suffering last week? Were you suffering last year? Will you suffer next week? Will you suffer next year? If there's no prasadam this evening, are you going to be suffering? Our happiness, what we call happiness, is so dependent upon externals. It's almost an embarrassment. In fact, to an intelligent man, it is an embarrassment. When I say man, woman, or whoever, we're talking about the species, not gender. So to an intelligent person, being dependent upon so many external things for our happiness is an embarrassment. And to see that we are dependent upon so many things is the beginning of wisdom. Now I'm going to ask you again, and I'm going to ask you a few times during the course of this little talk, anybody here is not suffering? Anybody is not suffering? Okay. I'm going to catch you out this time. Is anybody here who is suffering? My mathematics isn't very good. Could I define suffering? Suffering. Well, we suffer from the body. We suffer from... Okay, let's start there. We suffer from the body. Anybody here doesn't suffer from the body? Come on, let's be honest. Anyone here doesn't suffer from the body? Okay, nobody doesn't suffer from the body, so everybody's suffering from the body. What do we suffer from the body? Sometimes the body's an embarrassment. Okay, if you eat too much... And there's no opportunity. Now, I'm not going to be trying to be gross here, but let's be realistic. If you're out on the street and you've eaten or you've drunken a bit and there's no way to relieve yourself, are you not suffering? It's painful, embarrassing, it's frantic. You have to find a place to relieve yourself. And if you're hungry, you haven't eaten for a day or two, you want to fill your stomach. And when the stomach's full and the body does its business, you need to relieve yourself. Just a simple, basic thing. It happens all the time. But maybe your bathroom facilities are working in order and you're not suffering there. But if you trip over on the way to wherever you're going, you may... Like I came in on a bicycle. I've had more than one accident on my bicycle. Broken a bone here, a strain there, this and that and the other. So much suffering. Ladies... So many of you have children. Isn't giving birth painful? Is it not painful? Not always. Some ladies are very fortunate, but bringing up children's a pain, isn't it? I mean, they're sweet, and you love them to bits, but what a headache. Mental anguish for the welfare of your child. Isn't that painful? You're in anguish for the welfare of your child. Where is he? Where is she? She's disappeared. Where is she? My God, the panic, the fear, the pain. And it's not even happening to you, it's happening to someone else. And you feel it. There's three kinds of suffering. Adi kleshik, I'll get it right. Adi devik, and anibhautik. Suffering which comes from the body and mind, ariatmik, aridevik. Suffering which comes from the body and the mind, suffering which comes from the other living beings, the dog that bites you, the neighbour that throws rocks in you and through your window, and aridevik, the devas, that means the weather, the cold, it's hot, there's an earthquake, there's a tidal wave, whatever. Suffering which comes from other living beings, suffering which comes from the body and mind, and suffering which comes from nature. So we're actually all of us suffering one way or another. If you were living in Tamil Nadu, just quite recently, you might have had a tidal, a tsunami knocking down your house. And even if you live here in England, your central heating is fine, then when the budget comes along, you're suffering because the government wants the money out of your bank balance. Aren't you suffering? So who can doubt we're suffering? So Prabhupada says here, the special reasoning of humans is to inquire, why am I suffering? Why am I suffering? And this is special reasoning, because not a lot of people think that they're suffering. Next week, next year, everything's going to be fine forever. That's silly. The animals are suffering, but they do not know how to remedy the suffering. So at the moment, we're on the level of animals. If we can acknowledge that we are suffering, we got that far. Now we have to inquire, how do we remedy this problem of suffering? Human beings are making scientific advancement and philosophical advancement, cultural advancement, religious advancement, progress in so many lines because they want to be happy. Where is the point of happiness? This is reasoning power. It is especially given to the human being. Therefore, in the Gita, Krishna says, out of so many men, one may know me. Let's just look at that verse in the Gita. Prabhupada mentions this verse at the beginning of the chapter. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatang api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvataha. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who achieve perfection, hardly one knows me in truth, Krishna is saying. So out of thousands among men, and this was 5,000 years ago, Krishna speaking, probably these days it's millions among men, one may endeavor for perfection, wants to know what is reality, what is truth. And of those who have achieved perfection, that means to know that we're not the body, that we're eternal spirit soul. Out of those, hardly one knows Krishna in truth. But we shouldn't give up hope, because the fact that we're here before the deities and here in Krishna Katar and chanting the holy name, we have a head start. We've come a long way. So let's continue with Srila Prabhupada's purport. Generally, people are just like animals. They simply do not know anything beyond the necessities of the body. How to eat, how to sleep, how to mate, and how to defend. And the Bhagavad Gita says, out of many thousands, someone may develop this reasoning power. Why am I suffering? He asks this question. Why am I suffering? We do not want to suffer, but suffering is forced upon us. We do not want too much cold, but too much cold and too much heat are forced upon us. In England, it's too cold usually. It's very rare there's too much heat, but sometimes, yes, people do complain. When people work in offices, recently where I was working, people were complaining. They're phoning up the air conditioning people all the time. It's too hot. But one person in the room thought it was too hot, and this one over here thought it was too cold. And then the weather changes a bit, and now they're too cold and they're too hot. So it's, you know, who's happy? Heat and cold, just a simple thing like heat and cold. It's crazy. But they're forced upon us. And even if you've got the perfect central heating, there's going to be something else. You've got toothache. Who's been to the dentist this month? Anyone been to the dentist this month? I went to the dentist a couple of weeks ago. And they're drilling away, you know, and you get the Novocaine and the stuff they pump, you know, so you can't feel it. You can feel them vibrating around, but just a few years ago, not very long ago, they'd take out teeth without any kind of anaesthetic. They'd take it out. Maybe you, some of you come from, you know, I mean, in some places where there isn't what we call modern dental practices, they still have to do that. They get your tooth and they hold you down and they rip out your teeth. And that's preferable to having the tooth sitting there aching on and on and on. When you've got a toothache, oh, toothache is so painful. So, so painful. So the teeth, which are, they're instrumental in us enjoying our food, they can give us so many problems. And that's the thing. Everything that we think will make us happy or helps us to become happy, intrinsically, it will give us problems at some point. You know, the heart gives us problems. Sometimes people have a lot of problems with the heart. Or you get gastric ulcers. And the stomach, which is there to digest your food, is giving you so many problems. Or your teeth are aching. Or you've got a headache. Oh, it's so, the list goes on and on. I don't need to go on. But this is material life. So Prabhupada says, why am I suffering? When there is some impetus to awaken this reasoning power, it is called Brahma Jignasa. This is found in the Vedanta Sutra. This first verse says that now this human form of life is meant for asking the question of how to solve the problem of suffering. It's the first verse of Vedanta Sutra. Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now in the human life form, it is time to inquire into the nature of the absolute truth. So people say, well, I don't need that. I'm busy enjoying myself. But they never think, I don't need that. I'm busy suffering. What are you doing? Oh, I'm busy suffering. As we said, you know, how many hands went up when we say, who's suffering? We don't think of life as suffering. We don't think of it as suffering. Because we're always hopeful that this little patch we're in now will continue. Yes, you do feel peaceful. You do feel contented. You've either had some prasadam just a few, and within the last hour or two, and you're satisfied, or there's some coming after the talk, after the kirtan, after the arti. Everything's here. You've got nice things to go in your tummy. You've got nice things to look at on the altar. Some nice smells with the incense. You've got some words of wisdom from Srila Prabhupada. And you've got the sweet sound of the holy name. So here, all the senses are all being engaged. But not in material activity. That's the difference. This is spiritual activity. This is spiritual activity. As those of you who have been many times well know, this is spiritual. And you feel, you go away feeling, oh, that's very good. I feel good. I feel uplifted. Uplifted. It isn't a ritual. It's not some dry ritual. It can be tasted immediately. As they say, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So the process of Krishna consciousness is very simple. It is so simple. So simple. But we apply it and we'll get a taste. Ah. And the more we apply it, the deeper our taste will go. But I'm diverging from the text that Prabhupada is speaking about here. This human form of life is meant for asking the question of how to solve the problem of suffering. Because if you don't think you've got a problem suffering, then we've got a problem. That is a problem in itself, if we think we're not suffering. But any intelligent person can see, yes, actually, life isn't a bed of roses. It might be a bed of thorns sometimes. And occasionally we get a whiff of the rose. Life is a bit like the rose bush, actually. You know, the roses come at certain times. They're lovely. Some, of course, some roses don't smell. They're useless. They look okay. You smell it, you know, useless. But some roses are, oh, the smell is heavenly. Incredible smell. When you go to pick a rose, though, you have to be careful because you might get cut. Because along with the rose, there's the rose bush. Some of them, big, big thorns. Massive, great thorns. So life is like that. The rose blossoms. It's beautiful. And then it withers. It's gone. Just some dry, dead petals. No smell. And yet there's the thorn bush. So life's a bit like that. We get a few roses in our life, but there's a lot of thorns. So Krishna says that this special prerogative of the human being is not awakened very easily except by some good association. In other words, it's difficult to do by oneself. Difficult to do on your own. Just as we have this Krishna conscious association, if we attain such association where nice things are discussed, then that awakening of reason, that special prerogative of being human, will come. As long as this question does not arise in one's mind, he should understand that whatever activities he is doing will lead to his defeat. Will lead to his defeat. Is there anybody that you know who's never been defeated by the material nature? So many men have come and gone. Very powerful men. They've conquered nations. They've made scientific inventions and discoveries. And in every case, everyone has been defeated by old age and death. In every single case. Even some of the greatest materialists, like you, those of you who've been here regularly, we know the picture of Lord Nrsimhadev there in the corner, the painting. And he's tearing Hiranyakashipu apart. Anybody here for the first time, by the way? Anyone coming here for the first time? Yourself. Thank you for coming. Welcome. Have you heard of Lord Nrsimhadev before? Nursing? Yes? So Hiranyakashipu, he was very intelligent and he thought he'd covered every single avenue for his death. He would seriously thought he'd covered every single option. There's no way he could be killed as far as he was understood. But he met his death at the hands of the Lord in the form of Lord Nrsimhadev. His defeat. Ravana got defeated. Nrsimhadev was defeated. Napoleon was defeated. Hitler was defeated. Your great-grandmother was defeated. Everybody gets defeated. I will be defeated and you will be defeated. In terms of our material plans. But we ourselves are immortal. So although we have to leave this behind, and we have to leave our plans behind, and we have to leave those who we've grown attached to, who we may love, we have to leave them behind. We ourselves are moving on. Well, we take another body according to what we've done this lifetime. And of course, if we've attained the perfection, if we've asked the right questions and found the real answers, there is an opportunity in the human life for every one of us here to not come back and take birth again. That's the opportunity. But more of that later. So Prabhupada says, as long as this question does not arise in one's mind, he should understand that whatever activities he is doing will lead to his defeat. He is simply leading an animal life, but not when these questions arise. Why am I suffering? What am I? Am I meant for suffering? Am I meant for troubles? There's a lady here who has a very bad cough. She's suffering. Our sympathy can go out to her. But it's painful. It's irritating. We get coughs, we get colds. Now, this chapter is about 2 or 3 pages longer. And Prabhupada's words are very succinct and very sweet. If you haven't got this book already, I'd recommend it. Krishna Consciousness, the Topmost Yoga System. Prabhupada makes it very, Krishna Consciousness, very, very accessible. It's very sweet. I can read a bit more, but at this point, I'd like to ask her any questions. Any questions? Okay, I'll continue. Oh, a question. Yes. Prabhupada says, I am undergoing troubles by nature's laws and by the state's laws. Governments always give problems. We never find a utopia where the citizens are free from the problems that the governments create, unless it's Ramaraj. But that's very rare. So the question of freedom is how to become free from all these troubles. It's not political freedom, it's spiritual freedom. The Vedanta Sutra also says that the soul, my actual self, is by nature joyful. Yet I am suffering. Lord Krishna further says that when these questions arise, gradually one comes to God. If one takes those questions to heart, and continually ask those questions. And it's not just a mental process, it comes from the core. During the course of your day, and you think, well, why am I suffering? It leads to introspection. Introspection means deep questions. Not about the football or the weather or the politics or this or that or the other. Deep questions, that's introspection. And introspection, honest introspection, will lead you on the spiritual path. Those who have awakened to these questions are said to be on this path of perfection. And when the question of God and our relationship with God comes, that is our final perfection of life. Just by asking that question, seriously, from the core of our heart, what is God and what is my relationship with God? Now, Krishna says that out of many thousands of people, one may try to make perfection of his life. And out of many millions of such persons on the path of perfection, only one may understand Krishna. So, understanding Krishna is not very easy, but it is also the easiest. It is not easy, but at the same time, it is the easiest. It is the easiest if you follow the prescribed forms. Now, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has introduced this chanting of Hare Krishna. He has not exactly introduced it. It is in the scriptures, the Vedic scriptures, but he has especially propagated this formula. In this age, this is the easiest method of self-realization. Simply chant Hare Krishna. It can be done by everyone. Srila Prabhupada says, in my classroom, I am perhaps the only Indian. My students are all Americans. They are taking part in the chanting very nicely. Chanting and dancing. That means that in any country, in any place, this can be performed. Therefore, it is the easiest. You may not understand the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. That is also not very difficult. But still, if you think that you cannot understand, you can still chant very easily, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. If we want to understand God, Krishna, this is the beginning, the easiest beginning, simply chanting. Now, there are many students of my ISKCON institution. This institution is open a little over a year by some of the students, by simply chanting, by the grace of Krishna, have advanced in such a way that they can talk about the science of God. And they will very easily answer these human questions. So this is the easiest method of transcendental meditation. It's very interesting here, Prabhupada says. This institution is open a little over a year. Srila Prabhupada wrote these words in 1967. And are they any less relevant today than they were in 1967? Completely relevant today. They were just as relevant 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago, and they will be relevant tomorrow, next year, next millennium, on and on and on. This is always relevant. These same questions that Prabhupada is bringing to our attention. Why am I suffering? They're always relevant for the human being. Because only human beings can actually understand their suffering. Like, for example, you know, anyone here got a dog or a cat, pet, hamster? No? Okay. People do keep dogs and cats, etc. But if you go and kick a dog, the dog will yelp because he feels pain, obviously. But he won't think, why am I suffering? He won't think like that. If an animal is in a difficult situation, it doesn't think, why am I suffering? It tries to escape from the suffering or avoid suffering if it sees a dangerous situation, but it never thinks, why am I suffering? So how can we be any better than animals in our intention and our intelligence if we don't think different to the animals? If we just accept whatever comes along and we never think, why am I suffering? The point Prabhupada's making is, if we don't ask this question, we're still in the animal mentality. This isn't to insult us. We have human species, we have the human body, but this special intelligence we have. As human beings, we can ask this question. So the fact that you are here today in the temple, of course you're utilizing your human life. This is the beginning of human life. So these points are, they're very simple. But without understanding the here and now of Krishna consciousness, of spiritual life, we can get lost in ritual. We can do a thing because our parents did it. We can do a thing because our family's done it for many generations, and we can forget why we're doing it. And that isn't very beneficial. Because chanting Hare Krishna is beneficial, and taking prasadam is beneficial. So that's good, but we should understand why we do a thing. That's the most important thing. Because if you understand why you do a thing, you can be convinced about it. Not because someone else told you to do it, but you are convinced to do it. Because you see how essential it is. It's essential. It is essential. It's the essential nature, the human being, the eternal soul in the human body has this chance. And it's one in a billion. One in a billion. How many times? Just in our own progress, through all the different species of life. We've been through so many bodies, so many species of life. We may have had a few dozen, maybe a few hundred as human beings, but we've been around this whole cycle. We've been devas, we've been angels, we've been demons, we've been cockroaches, aardvarks, dogs, basking sharks, all sorts of different species of life the soul is passing through, life after life. Now we have human body. So I'd like to thank you all for coming to the manor, Bhaktivedanta Manor, Krishna's home, Srila Prabhupada's home. We've got about 10 minutes before the aarti. I'd like to ask you, do you have any questions about what we've been speaking about? Any questions?